My dear friends, today is the second Sunday of Lent. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you should abstain from fornication, that everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business. Because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called you unto uncleanliness, but unto sanctification, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 17. At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples hearing fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, Arise, and fear not. And they lifting up their voices, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. A voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, Father Lavasic was a priest in the 20th century who wrote many inspiring books for children and even adults. And in one of his books, he tells a story about a young boy who had a little lamb that he loved very dearly. One day, however, his little lamb had got itself stuck in a thorn bush, and the animal began pitifully bleeding, as it began to also bleed from the many scratches that it received from the thorns. The boy ran to his father and said, Come quickly, Papa, and cut down that wicked bush at once that has hurt my poor little lamb. Why did it have to hurt my little lamb? He furiously questioned. Well, his father did not cut down the bush, but made his son sit quietly beside him, not far from the bush, as they nursed the lamb back to normal. As they watched in silence, a small bird came and perched itself on that same bush. And the boy was pleased to see the bird up so close to them, and he was enjoying the sight of this bird as he and his father sat there motionless. Then the bird began to take little bits of the lamb's wool that had been entangled in the thorns, and the bird brought it back to its own nest. You see, my boy, said the father after a while, the wool of your lamb will keep that little bird and his family warm in their nest. Tell me then, should I cut down the bush now? The boy had learned a valuable lesson that day, and he said, no, the bush should stay. And my dear friends, this is the moral of what we are to learn from today's gospel, that sometimes sufferings are necessary to bring a greater good, but that suffering is not necessarily a sign of God's displeasure with us. In fact, as we know too well from experience, it is often the wicked who seem to live lives of ease and prosperity, while it is the just that are persecuted and suffer. God the Father made this clear at the time of the Transfiguration, that by carrying our crosses, we are doing something very pleasing to Him, and something that He asks of all those who love Him. You see, in today's Gospel, we heard that Moses and Elias were talking with our Lord. Now, there's an important detail that St. Luke fills in that we did not read from the altar today in St. Matthew's account. And the detail that St. Luke mentions is exactly what Moses, Elias, and our Lord were talking about. These two great saints of the Old Testament were talking to our Lord about His passion and death. St. Luke writes, "And behold, two men were talking with Him, and they were Moses and Elias, appearing in majesty. And they spoke of the decease that He should accomplish in Jerusalem." So it was then, my dear friends, that it was during this conversation that the apostles heard the voice of God the Father, saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And thus, by saying that He was pleased with our Lord while a conversation was going on about the passion and death, this was meant to show the apostles that there would be no contradiction between our Lord's passion and His divinity. This was a vision shown to these three apostles specifically because they would be the ones who would witness our Lord in His agony in the garden. And our Lord wanted to strengthen them for that hour, as it were. He wanted them to see His divinity as resplendent as they could, so that when they saw Him crushed and pressed to the ground, weeping and sweating a sweat of blood during His agony, they would not forget that He was true God, even as they saw Him to be true man. God was pleased then to make it clear to them, and then they passed it down to us and to Catholics for all time, that the sufferings of Christ were in no way inconsistent with His doing the will of God in all things, nor were they inconsistent with Him being the Son of God. What confidence that we can have then, when we too have to carry our crosses, sometimes great and severe crosses, to know that this might be the exact time when God loves us more than He has. This is a great lesson for us to remember, for the opportunities in life may often bring about discouragement. There are times when things can get pretty dark pretty fast. And if we have in our mind that as soon as things go wrong, that's a sign that somehow God's offended with us, or somehow He no longer loves us. When temptations strike or setbacks to our work, our health, or anything else come into our lives, if we automatically think, "I have done something wrong before God," it can lead to a very miserable existence. But when we think, as our Lord would have us, that these are ways of growing closer to Him, of cooperating with His own passion and death, of making reparation for sin, if we see these as opportunities from the love of God to gain the graces that we need, then our life, if not more happy, will at least have more consolation. When the trials come, we will at least know that we are working hand in hand with God, and that we are not being punished because God is angry. We see this, my dear friends, even from the Gospels themselves. Saints Peter, James, and John, they were brought up to that mountain today. They saw our Lord transfigured. And then what happened? Even though they had seen that great vision of our Lord, when He needed them most, they fell asleep. When the guards and the temple police came to apprehend our Lord, St. Peter first wildly swung his sword and could have made matters much worse for our Lord by injuring the servant of the high priest, but ultimately they fled from our Lord. Well, in the Gospels, we also read of St. Mary Magdalene. She saw our Lord's divinity for the first time when she was there thrown to the ground at his feet. She stood there after picking herself back up, and she heard the terrible accusers commanding our Lord to stone her to death. What greater adversity could we imagine? And yet, she saw his strength, she saw his divinity, she saw him put her accusers to silence, and thus she met our Lord during great adversity. She saw his divinity through a great trial in her life. And who was it standing at the foot of his cross on Good Friday? Who was it that never left his mother's side? It was St. Mary Magdalene, who had learned about the divinity through adversity, and not the apostles, who had seen the divinity in a time of great joy and happiness. Then down through the centuries, in the first 3 centuries of the church, millions of Catholics were tortured and put to death, made to light the streets, as it were, for Nero, by having themselves consumed by fire all night. But these millions of Catholics won their way to heaven. They were some of the church's most extraordinary saints, and they were able to not only persevere through this, but they were the strong Catholics that were needed to stem the tide of Arianism, Nestorianism, and the other heresies that would soon follow. They had great adversity in their lives, and it made them closer to God. Well, then we contrast that with the 20th century, when things in our, especially in our country, were in such a way that you had a church on every corner. Good Catholics would go to confession every Saturday night. Masses on Sunday mornings were packed. There were missions, Eucharistic congresses, Catholic action leagues. Even politicians would pride themselves in calling themselves Catholic. In a sense, life was very good for a Catholic in the early part of the 20th century. It was very easy, so to speak, to practice your faith when you were surrounded by so many fellow Catholics and when the church was just a couple doors down the street. But then what happened? When Vatican II came in, when the changes of the modernist heresy came in, so many souls just got swept up in its tide, went along with the errors and the heresies that were being fed to them, and took them totally and without question. How few were able to save their souls when the modernists began their work in earnest. And so, whether we look at the Gospels or whether we look at church history, we see very clearly that when we have to suffer for our faith, when we have to suffer trials in our lives, these will bring us closer to God. And when everything's going okay, everything's fine, we don't have a care in the world, that is actually when we should fear more, that we might not be strong enough to deal with what is coming. And so, my dear friends, when we hear our Almighty God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," while he is speaking of his passion, let us too offer up our crosses and our trials, so that God may say of us as well, "This is my beloved Son," or "This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." Remember that it was not the great miracles or the cures that our Lord did which ever made the Holy Father proclaim from heaven that this was his beloved Son, but it was only when he was speaking of his passion that God made this very clear. When we are cut and scraped then, like that little lamb was in the thorn bush, Let us look to it as a way of providing grace for ourselves and for others. The little boy didn't want to see his lamb hurt anymore, but he was willing to pay that price for the better good of the other animals. So too, God does not want us to be hurt or to have to carry unnecessary crosses, but he is willing to let crosses come into our lives so that we may be better for it. This is what St. Paul was talking about when he said, God wills your sanctification. He was telling the people to offer up the crosses and trials of their daily life in union with the masses throughout the world in reparation for their sins and in petition for the blessings they needed. And so, my dear friends, stay this course no matter what crosses or trials come upon you. Stay the course of being faithful to God in all things, and it will be said of you one day, this is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.